but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Well, we've been talking about the Pac-12's news. They've got an anchor or a cornerstone media partner in CBS. Here to talk about it with me, my friend and co-host of the podcast, Canzano and Wilner. Hope you find that on YouTube. John Wilner with me of the Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. All right, I want your rapid reaction. When you saw it was CBS, championship games in football and basketball, a minimum of 3 games in the regular season on CBS and Paramount, other undisclosed games on CBS Sports Network. What was your reaction, Wilner?
I was mildly surprised that it was CBS that was announced first. I still believe that the CW is going to be part of this deal, and I probably would have put a nickel on the CW being the first network to be announced as a partner for the conference. But in some ways, CBS serves the same purpose because it is, there's an over-the-air piece to it, which is huge for exposure. I'm sure some fans are thinking, hey, we wanted more. We wanted guarantees of more games, football, more games, basketball. But there's a lot of unknown still. And I think if what was the case before, still the case now, if they can get a good amount of games on ESPN so that they're on cable, I think that'll serve the purposes for the exposure piece.
The use of the semantics, the word anchor was used in the Pac-12's released, and I had a source call it the cornerstone partner. I said primary partner, and I got pushback on that. Why do you think they don't want to call him the primary partner?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would use the term primary. I think that maybe because primary seems to indicate that the highest quantity of games would be and the biggest inventory would be on that network. And I think that to me, it seems pretty clear that there's still a chance that ESPN or another Turner perhaps will have the largest quantity of football games, for instance. And so in that regard, primary isn't completely accurate. But I do think any of those anchor, cornerstone, I mean, the conference was adrift. And now, when you're adrift, you're looking for an anchor, right? And that's what CBS has provided them. And, it's a decent launch point, but we'll see what else happens.
The Mountain West Conference used to have CBS as a partner in their current deal, I guess. And they'll be looking for a new deal themselves. Is this a death blow to the Mountain West?
I wouldn't say it's a death blow. I don't think it's good. And for those who don't know, the Mountain West deal with Fox and CBS expires next summer. The Pac-12's new deal begins next summer. So obviously CBS is going to be a Mountain West partner next June 30th and then a Pac-12 partner on July 1st. The big question for the Mountain West is what's Fox going to do? Is Fox going to be all in? Or is Fox going to kind of bow out? And if Fox bows out, Mountain West is probably in some big trouble. So I would say it's not good. I don't know if it's quite the death blow, but we'll see. That Mountain West is going to have, they are the, you could argue that the new Pac-12 is the Mountain West on steroids, but you could also argue that the new Mountain West is the Mountain West light,
From a basketball standpoint, because we always think in football terms, dive into the basketball a little bit. What do you see in this deal with CBS coming in from a basketball standpoint?
Well, that was actually one of my first reactions was this is really good for Pac-12 basketball, maybe even better than it is for Pac-12 football, because CBS is a huge piece of the college basketball narrative, and it's not in football. ESPN, Fox dominate the narrative in football. But CBS is, because of its long-standing history, show in March Madness, CBS is a big deal on the basketball front. And basketball is going to be a big deal for the new Pac-12, right? I mean, it's going to be a very good basketball league with Gonzaga and with San Diego State and the other schools. So if I'm the Pac-12 and I'm looking at it from the hoop standpoint, I am ecstatic that CBS is a primary partner.
Who else could be involved? Because you mentioned the CW. I think they make sense. They've been involved in 2024 and in 2025. They could take some games. ESPN could do what they're doing with Oregon State, a couple of after dark games.
Yeah.
Do you see those entities being partners, or who else?
I do. I think there's a chance Turner will get in. I think ESPN Plus, you know, the streaming, and they're moving a lot on streaming. There's a lot of ACC and a lot of Big 12 games on ESPN Plus. I think that there's a real good chance for that. To me, ESPN needs the programming, and they need West Coast kickoff and tip-off programming for a bunch of reasons. So I would bet at this point, you know, that the CW and ESPN are the most likely to get the rest of the inventory, but you never know.
How does the exposure piece of this strike you with CBS and the entities that you're talking about? Because you and I have talked about revenue versus exposure. How does this fit?
Pretty good, but I think there's a lot of unknowns. If they have a package where there's a bunch of football games, you know, on ESPN each week, not necessarily on Saturday, but, you know, maybe they get a weekly Friday game on ESPN that is the doubleheader for the Big 12 or Big 10 game, a Big 12 game, I guess, or, you know, comes after the Big 10 game on Fox on Fridays or Thursdays. That, you know, that would be pretty good for them. I don't know that ESPN's got a ton of windows available on the cable front on Saturdays, except the late one. But we'll see. I think it's a little too early to make a declaration on the exposure. It's, you know, maybe encouraging. You could argue it's encouraging for the Pac-12, but there's probably a long way to go, if we're being honest.
Yeah, there's ambiguity in there. And, you know, a minimum of three games on CBS and Paramount, undisclosed number of games on CBS Sports Network. Why are they leaving that so vague?
I think part of it is that they don't know what their total inventory is going to be, because they don't know how many schools are in the conference, how many conference games there's going to be, and that affects your inventory and what you can offer. Now, it's possible that there's a deal where CBS is locked in to X number of games. I'm sure that's the case, but then they could add more to their package if, depending on what the total inventory is. And maybe they want to just see CBS wants flexibility to, you know, late in the season, there's a Pac-12 game that is quite appealing. They want to be able to put that on the over the air network, maybe move it to an unusual kickoff time. That's another thing. I want to know, what is the Thursday Friday plan? Is there any chance they're going to play on Sundays, Tuesdays, or Wednesday? Are they going to do something super creative with the schedule? That has been a piece of this that I've wondered about all along.
John Wilner, our guest. You can read him at wilnerhotline.com or in the San Jose Mercury News or the Bay Area News Group. Wilner, expansion to be determined here. I sort of expect they're only going to add one all-sports school. Texas State is the school we've talked about. Do you get a sense on the timing of Texas State? Do you agree that it's Texas State?
I agree with it, that it's Texas State by process of elimination. Who else would they add, right? I get back to that a lot. I don't, you know, UNLV just doesn't seem right on a bunch of fronts, and I'm not sure that there's really anybody else unless they try to make a big play for a Memphis or a Tulane. If you're talking about, are they going to add UTSA or Texas State? I think you can get, I'd go with Texas State. So some of it's just the lack of options. And that's been the case all along. They got the schools they had to get. And after that point, there's not many options that are going to move the needle. So I'm kind of on the Texas State train.
Is there an affiliate member out there that you think could be brought in to help round out the football schedule? Because if you've got eight schools, you're looking at some, you're either going to have to play home and homes, yeah, or you're going to have to schedule that extra non-conference game that costs you $500,000 to $1 million a game. Like, there's a real cost there. I'd almost be inclined to go, hey, you know,
Will Rice come in as a football-only member? Will UTSA come in as a football-only member? How about Memphis?
Yeah, one of those. Memphis, costlier, brings more value, but costs more. The lower-level schools in the American are easier to get from a financial standpoint, but they got to have a place to put their other sports if they don't stay in the American. And that's, so it's a two-pronged calculation. You know, does it work for the Pac-12, but does it work for those schools and their Olympic sports as well? So I don't know. I think it's really interesting. And I also think they don't want to add just to add, right? That's a big part of their calculation, is they want the floor to be as high as possible for strength of schedule issues that affect your college football playoff and your NCAA tournament chances. So that they have to decide, you know, is the cost of having to play extra non-conference games worth it to make sure our floor is stronger? And I don't know, but that's part of what they're talking about.
I've wondered about the ACC a little bit because of the involvement of the CW. Could there be a crossover series? And this came up maybe almost 2 years ago when the Pac-12 was fighting for survival. Yeah. Could they do a crossover series with some ACC schools, just using Oregon State and Washington State? And you started to see those schools pop up in non-conference games. But I'm wondering, with the CW involved, could there be some crossover there? Like, you know, I would love to see Cal and Stanford playing a lot of these schools in the Pac-12, and maybe there's some other options there. I'm just kind of wondering if there's a benefit scheduling-wise to any of these conferences, or is there a scheduling agreement with the American where Tim Pernetti and Teresa Gold get there and go, hey, look, let's not let the Big Ten and the SEC have all the fun. Let's cross over and play our best teams against each other.
Well, that makes more sense than anything in my mind. The ACC piece is interesting. They only play 8 conference games as of now. And the trickle-down piece can't be ignored here. If the SEC goes to 9 conference games, I am sure the ACC will do that, because they can't afford to be the only power conference that's playing 8. So if they go to 9, then there's just so few windows available for any kind of crossover series with the Pac-12. Pac-12 American makes a lot of sense. I mean, you could argue that those conferences should combine, declare, you know, name a champion and have the two champions play it off, right? And the winner is going to get that CFP bid in some ways or something like that to maximize your revenue with the media partners. And the ESPN is the American's media partner. So if they have a deal with the Pac-12 here in the next couple weeks, I think there's more likely to be potential for some kind of alliance.
Finally, Teresa Gold and some of the Pac-12 representatives are going to Washington, D.C. They're going to be there Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
What is their aim? Are they just, is this saber rattling? Is this, what are they doing?
I think it's a little bit of don't forget about us. The Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, and SEC were in Washington meeting with members of Congress. I don't remember exactly. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago, I want to say. And they had a, you know, big to-do, trying to get congressional help on a lot of college sports issues. I think the Pac-12 is just saying, don't forget about us, you know. And here we're going to offer you a different perspective. So to me, I don't know if it's a whole lot more than that, but I think it's probably good for them to get there so that they're not completely forgotten about.
And look, I mean, before the Pac-12 imploded, there was just a lot of talk about the conference was trying to do right by athletes in a number of ways that maybe some other conferences weren't. And there's no greater example of the impact of the new world of college sports than the implosion of that conference. And, you know, certainly U.S. Senator Mike Baumgartner, big time advocate for Washington State in particular. He's been crowing a lot. We'll see if more to this than just talk, though.
You've spoken to him before, haven't you?
Yeah. And I think he comes from a good place. The question is, can you get anything done in D.C.? Like, can you really get anything done, or is this just a bunch of posturing and sports being used as the platform?
Yeah, and the big thing, too, is like everybody else in college sports, they're trying to get the House settlement codified so that all these different state laws don't supersede the agreement that they have on the House front. They're trying to get antitrust protection, all these things to stop the lawsuits. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but you can't fault them for trying. I mean, they've made dozens of trips to D.C. over the years.
Hey, I love that we're doing Canzano and Wilner, the podcast on YouTube. So people want to watch that, tune in. John Wilner at his finest. You get to see different areas of Wilner's house in the background of the podcast.
Yes.
Over the weeks. So it's pretty cool.
Yes, my son's bedroom often is the case, and we got a deep
dive. How's your son feeling about that?
As long as he doesn't have to clean it up before I come in here, he's okay with it.
I need to talk to him, because what he should be doing is he should be selling sponsorship of like the back wall of his bedroom to a local business. NIL deal.
There you go.
NIL deal for him.
There you go. And the podcast this week, we deep dive into the Pac-12 stuff.
Love it. All right, John Wilner, you're the best. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate
you. Thanks for having me.
All right, leave it here. Our big splash is coming up.